Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of the GCPD,
the Gotham City Podcast Department, to inform and entertain.
I'm Colin, and I play Nightmare Batman.
So no one likes you anymore.
I am Josh, and I play Ivy and Joker.
Iggy, and I'm going to be playing Bane.
Nigel and I play Penguin.
So this week we're going to start off with a question that was brought to us on our Twitter account, where you can follow us at, if this hasn't been already dropped into the podcast, we can follow us at GC, or at GC, I'll fix this all later.
Nope, not at,
nailing it
at GCPD underscore podcast on Twitter. It was by Steven Dielstra. He is starting Militia. He is new to the game. He's starting the Militia crew, and he bought the Scarecrow pack and Deathstroke, the Arkham Origins Deathstroke.
Is that, that's the old metal one, or is that the new resin?
No, that's the, well, it is the new one.
Yeah, okay.
It's the cool looking one, the 145 point.
Okay.
But he bought those two model, or those two things, and he wanted to know how to kind of escalate his army from there. As being a new player, this game can be a little tough to kind of navigate the opening purchases, so we wanted to kind of help out. I think everybody's first purchase should be, if you play a villain crew, it should probably be the new villains pack, or the new prisoner pack, sorry.
Yes. If you play villains, buy the prisoner pack. A lot of times you're going to end up using high security henchmen at the very least. And then also Gustav Gustafsson, the carbine guy, is actually pretty ridiculous for his point cost.
Yeah.
He's like 18 reps, so he's dirty cheap. The gun's 400 or 500 funding, I think.
400.
400 funding. So it puts a dent, but it's a carbine. I know when we were first starting the game, we kind of, the four of us, we sort of poo-pooed carbines a little bit. You look at an assault rifle, and it's certainly not as raw powerful as an assault rifle, but you've got good range on it, so you're able to shoot all the way out across to your, you know, medium range. You're able to shoot all the way out across your line of sight of 12 inches. So you'll often get to aim and get your five shots. And actually, like, mathematically, I believe carbines end up being some of the best weapons versus pings and high, or and dodges, just because you're sending a high volume of dice, so you're more likely to get a couple through,
let alone hit them.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's only a cup of blood, but yeah. And then also the just a scratch rule helps out carbines quite a bit as well, because
yeah,
you've got these five dice coming in, and even if you failed a wound or something, you've got some.
I think carbines are actually like almost being ahead of the meta right now, because there's so many medium armor things that are out there now.
Yep.
And people are relying on that to keep their models up. So I think it's almost like you played that three carbine list,
yep,
and I think that's like ahead of the meta right now. It's like, oh, the Merciless. Well, if he gets shot with a gazillion just
right
scratches, he's
yeah
going to go down.
Like two fully loaded carbines going into him, and around is,
yeah,
gonna,
he doesn't want to get 10
shots.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Gustav is probably one of the.
The only reason I play high security more than Gustav is because I'm Sirens, and high security is absurd in Sirens.
He's just absurd because of Hidden. Like, that's why he's, like, just so good. That's why I take him every single time, and just having 8 health.
Right.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. He's a lot to deal. But anyways, that pack is just great, just in general. Like, if you play any bad guys at all, get that pack.
Right.
Gustav, for 18 points, can hit way above his weight class, and high security is just amazing. The same thing with him, you know?
Mm. Well,
Grotty is great, too, yeah.
This specific crew has another thing that can add to it. You can give camo vests with Grant stealth. So it actually combos pretty well with Hidden. So normally with Hidden, you have to be outside of line of sight or outside 12. So if you have stealth, then you can be inside. Can you be inside 8, actually?
You can't be inside 8.
Okay.
You can be you can be between the 8 and 12.
Yeah, okay. So that means you get an extra 4 inches of leeway, basically,
right,
in your placement.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but 4 inches in this game actually matters.
It's a lot.
Trust me.
Yeah.
4 inches is a big deal.
For, yeah. Bazing!
Yeah. Oh, that was a John
Catwoman 69 knows.
He also has Titan doses, which can be put on him. I would suggest probably not in this specific crew.
Oh, on high
we'll
security
go over that in a little
sure
bit.
Do you think what's that two pack? Is there like a at the end of Mark One? There's a two pack that came
yeah
out.
Yeah, so
that's a for sure buy if you're playing Militia.
So if you're gonna play Militia, the sad thing if you want to play a Scarecrow is there's not really a ton that really looks
bonkers
the part
game
for Scarecrow. But there is a two-pack that is the Militia Lieutenant number 2. He has a double-stun, handy, mechanical
baton.
He's the kill-em guy, right?
And he has Follow Me.
Dude, he has Follow Me.
Not
he's handy. He's like one of the best henchmen
okay
in the game.
Okay.
He's very good, yeah.
One of the Militia Lieutenants has kill-em. So.
And he also has frag grenades.
Okay.
Or, well, one frag grenade. But he's attack four.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
No,
he's his biggest downfall is movement, too. But literally, like, everything else on him you just want in a crew anyways.
Yeah.
Like, super reliable dice. Follow me. Like, those two alone are just like, oh, my gosh, this dude's really
cool. He actually comes with maybe one of the best shields in the game. It's a shield that has an extendable baton that's reach and heavy, and he's defense 3. So he's only got 4 endurance, but I think the defense 3 and having a shield just helps.
For those of the, that are a little unsure about what the shields are, they're essentially a walking ping. They have the protecting rule. So they will always receive a ping, and they receive it in addition to the normal ping that they might be granted by the scenery. And then any model base-to-base with them also gets a ping. And then the shield, second half of the protecting rule, is you get to reroll your block dice.
Mm-hmm.
So shield models are quite hard to kill, and they can help increase the survivability of models that are big gun targets.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be a great pack to pick up. And then at that point, you're kind of in the... You can probably play a full list, and you can play a couple games and see how you want to go after that. But if you wanted to do one more purchase, the Militia Medic would actually be a great addition. I actually love medics in this game. He's only 21 points, it's zero funding. He doesn't do much, except for he has veteran, and he's a medic, so...
Medic is a pretty rare rule in the game. It's actually an advantage... Like this is one of the advantages Militia has is that they have access to this guy.
It's cheap, pretty much
a cheap one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much just Brave and the Bold and Militia that have medics. You can Central do City Professor villains, Pig. Bro.
Freeze
has a medic?
You can buy it. You can buy it like a med pack.
You can buy a med
really?
Pack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, equipment. Okay.
And Central City Villains, the Shaman is a medic.
Oh yeah. But yeah, this is one that isn't 50 points. And yeah, medics are great. They can wake up your crew members when they go get knocked out or
what has he bought so far?
He has
the starter
pack.
Okay,
and I don't actually remember what all comes in the Scarecrow pack.
I don't think you can go that wrong really. Like I would just get the militia packs.
There's not so many militia models in existence right now that I would necessarily advise not to buy.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good crew.
The rocket launcher you don't need.
The one you can actually play. It's got good aim.
He's got good aim.
Yeah, so he's legit.
You can play.
That's the one rocket that you might actually play.
I'm just saying.
It actually comes in the medic pack.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
I was just going to say you don't need to rush out and get that guy.
You need to rush out and get that.
The Brute is he's pretty
the
good.
Militia Brute is the one I see played a lot. You can give him Titan doses. He hits pretty hard. And then I've watched a couple Scarecrow players have him be the one that can deliver the Scarecrow gas.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the upgrade is for that.
Well, there is there's two kind of upgrades. There's one where he can actually, like, one model in your crew can be one who actually can use a Scarecrow gas just like Scarecrow can.
Yeah.
Or there's, you can have up to two arc nodes, basically. So you can use the Scarecrow gas through Scarecrow, like, using them.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've often seen the Militia Brute be the guy that gets arced through.
Yep. Thomas is our local that plays Scarecrow. He tends to, or when I last played him, he played with the Militia Lieutenant as the one that can...
Lieutenant 1?
Fear gas dispenser, that's what
Lieutenant
it is.
Lieutenant 2, the stun. The
stick guy. Yeah, stick we talked guy. About earlier. Okay.
Yep.
So the fear gas dispenser is the equipment that gives you the ability to just, the model to
just
do
it. Do
it.
Yeah.
And then is it a strategy that allows...
The arcs?
The arcs,
no.
Or is it a scarecrow? Or is it a
thought
is
that lab thing,
scarecrow?
Right?
Secret laboratory, is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, secret lab.
At the start of the game, you can choose up to two henchmen in your crew. These models let you use Scarecrow, inspire fear from those models' positions as if Scarecrow would be placed over there. The willpower roll caused by any inspire fear suffers a +2 penalty to the roll, not cumulatively discouraged penalty. Counters lost due to terror roll are chosen by the Scarecrow controller. So yeah, secret laboratory is 2 rep and 100 funding upgrade to Scarecrow, and you just get to pick 2 models at the start of the game. And then you can also have another model that can get the gas dispenser, and he can go out and gas people on his own.
So the things to kind of remember when building Militia specifically is his equipment is you're going to have to take the secret laboratory. You can't not play with it. It was kind of a needed upgrade that he got after he came out back in first edition, and it's really spectacular. Then you're probably also going to take the Inspire Fear gas dispenser, which is gives a model Inspire Fear. And Thomas normally uses the Follow Me henchman to deliver the extra fear gas. But yeah, after that, you're just kind of doing what everybody else does. And he has neurotoxic drugs, which is a really great equipment to
use. What's the funding for the secret laboratory?
It is
100.
100 funding. Two rep and 100.
Dang
funding.
It.
Yeah, it makes Scarecrow an 82 rep model.
Oh,
so
my gosh. I'm at 349 with my current...
With that
list
current
I just,
belt
yeah.
there. Yeah.
They surprisingly have a lot of awesome like mid-level henchmen, which
they
I
do.
Like.
They
like
do.
The 40 high security, the brute, and the lieutenant. Like all three of those models are awesome.
They've got good survivability.
Good survivability, good dice.
With the brute, I would definitely consider taking the shield.
Oh yeah,
yeah, for sure. Shield, and yep. trying to glue them together, just because that brute will take quite a bit of gunfire from your opponent, most
sure,
likely.
Yeah,
and is susceptible to it,
which is fine. Like 40 pump miles taking all the ammo from somebody else. That's fine. Yeah.
Sure.
Like and high security. Like I think those three just are such a good elite squad. That's tough to kill. Mm-hmm. I really like them all on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I think Scarecrow is actually kind of a cool crew, despite haven't been updated in second edition, other than Deathstroke.
I would expect to see a new Scarecrow pack sometime.
Yeah, who
in
knows?
The semi near future. Just because Militia is one of Militia and Penguin are the only two crews that haven't received anything in this edition.
Central City Villains.
Right? Central City Villains, but Central City Villains kind of just came into existence like right at the switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as their first run of like plastics too.
Of resins and whatnot. But so yeah, I mean Central City Villains needs I wouldn't be stunned to see a new Captain Cold at some point, but I think there will be a new Scarecrow box eventually, or a Militia box of some sort.
Well, given time, everything will get me new stuff, so it's not really something to worry about. But yeah, I think that pretty much answers the question to the best of our ability.
What leader would you take? What are you thinking for leaders? Does he want to take Scarecrow, or who does he want to play?
Well, I assume since he bought Scarecrow, he's going to use Scarecrow.
Okay.
He also bought Deathstroke, too, so
yeah.
Both are great. If you're playing Deathstroke, you're playing a few less models, but maybe one or two less models.
Do you want to... what about, like we talked about, like Arkham Sniper and the other Arkham Knight?
Just yeah. Like well, I mean, you actually only have four total models that can lead your crew or mm-hmm. sidekick in the crew. So I think if you can pick up the Arkham Knight guys, the Jason Todds, do it. The Arkham Knight Sniper is the most popular leader for Militia, more so than Scarecrow. I think Scarecrow is way more fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's fluffier too.
And I think if you get good at playing Scarecrow, it's a nightmare for your opponent.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
So I think if you're building a Scarecrow crew, you've got Militia stuff. There's no reason if you pick up Arkham Knight Sniper and the Arkham Knight, if you can find them. It just gives you additional flexibility in building things and lets you shake up your list from time to time and just play something different.
Yeah. Some of the old medals are becoming harder and harder to find. So
they are.
The Arkham Sniper is one of them.
Yep.
Pretty hard to find.
He was a special release
with
in a book, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, but there's secondary like buy-sell trade groups on Facebook for the game, which you can try to track down older models from. And you can just check back stock of various online retailers. Some of them will have it. And if you can't get them, you're not missing out. You're still playing Scarecrow. You're fine.
Yeah.
So if you can get your hands on them, great. The other thing that I see Scarecrow crews playing a lot, and I think we talked about this before, definitely would recommend avoiding free agents for the most part until you kind of, you don't have to, but until you get a feel for the game and then you can get a feel for the free agents you want.
Yeah, free agents are the things that kind of come into lists after you kind of know what you're doing. And you can change up your list however you want, and it like really kind of brings a lot of variations to what you can do in the game.
But I think in general, if you're playing a crew that pretty much has an 80 rep leader, like that 80 to 90 rep leader, you should be looking at some of the big puncher, hard hitting free agents. Now, obviously, you have a sidekick in crew in Deathstroke who fulfills that role, but if there's other models that you'd be curious or interested in picking up to try out, I've seen Victor Zsasz played in Scarecrow quite a bit, and he's very good. We might get a new Victor Zsasz at some point. He's an interesting enough character in the Batman mythos. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a resin upgrade.
Right,
and but he's very good where he is right now.
Yeah, and he could just allows for more prisoners to be released too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then
also the TV Zsasz is really cool.
He is. Yeah, he is cool. And then the other thing that I would look at is kind of the thing that all villains right now should be looking at if they can find the box, which is the Metal Knights, evil Batman box. Any of them, particularly the Drowned and the Merciless, but even the Red Death,
they're all good.
They're all great, and they would all play well in your Scarecrow crew.
that's what I think that's awesome about free agents. It's kind of like the salt of the game, or like the flavoring to the food, is like you switch one of them out and your crew can play completely different, which is awesome. So it's like, even if you were playing the Merciless for a while, then you walk like the Red Death.
They're super satisfying. And like in the our War Machine days, you would plug in like mercs like Iron and Holt or Gorman Dewolf, and they would just change like dynamically what your matchups were. And then like this is like that times a billion, you know.
Don't take me to War Machine Town.
if our listeners are War Machine players and they're thinking, you know, as Steven Dielstra is a War Machine player.
Oh, okay.
That plays Scarecrow. So it's like you know, it's the free agents, you have so many, it's like this big golf bag full of like the perfect clubs for every situation.
Right,
and you can just change your crew entirely by one or two guys.
A lot of times that's true. There's definitely sometimes I'm like, I've got this hole, and I'm looking, there's not a free agent yet. But like a lot of times it definitely, they can fill in a gap.
It's like weird. Historically, I had played the more expensive free agents because they're the characters that I like the most. But lately I started experimenting more with the 60 to 70 rep. On a previous episode, I talked about experimenting with them a little bit more with Catwoman. And it was the last episode because it was the 69 thing. Yeah. Thanks for that, Josh.
I don't think that was even me.
I don't know.
Whoops.
But I've been experimenting with those. And so you can kind of do that. I haven't done that much with villain crews, but I know when I played my last game, I played with Scarecrow. I actually played the new Killer Croc, and he was pretty spectacular because the Scarecrow debuffs with his terrifying. I think it's terrifying or scared or one of the two that lowers defense, which is very good for Killer Croc because he doesn't have a way to actually help hit. And lowering defense is similar to giving you rerolls. I don't know when it actually averages out to be the same, but it helps him a lot. One of his weaknesses is that he's got a pretty high attack, but he has to actually hit. And handy is one of the best rules in the game. So we're just having rerolls in a dice funneling game is extraordinarily strong.
Yep.
But yeah, so Scarecrow is one of the weird leaders that, because he's 80 points, he debuffs, and then that guy who's terrified or scared or whatever doesn't actually have the ability to really attack back because they're scared. And so the next turn, the game I played against Scarecrow, I was playing Lex, and eventually he had me so terrified that I couldn't actually, I was getting less and less willpower or action counters on the next turns, and I actually couldn't fight back. And so if you can just realize that you're actually, while being offensive, you're still being very defensive, and it's very, I really like the leader, actually.
No, yeah. I think before they gave that secret laboratory, he was
rough.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Because he just is not survivable enough. But now that you can be like, well, high security over in that corner, and Militia Brute over in that corner are the ones dispensing the gas, and I'm Scarecrow hiding out back here on this objective, like way in the back, that and scoring points while I'm also gassing people. Mm-hmm. Now he's rough.
Yeah, and he also can inmate, like if like maybe a little henchman squeaks by or something, he can stab him with his.
He can. He's not. But he's not totally defenseless. But you don't really want him in a fight.
Yeah, but it also it scares them as well.
Yeah.
So.
His melee weapon. Is it actually just like a poison syringe? Yeah, syringe fear claw.
But yeah, I think that pretty much covers militia.
I don't think you can go wrong. Just get the militia stuff to start, and then the prisoner pack maybe too, and then once you kind of get your kind of what leaders you like to play and stuff, you can kind of start spicing it up with free agents and then changing it from there. But I don't think you can go too wrong with just the militia stuff in general.
I would make sure that I had the militia brute, the prisoner pack, the militia brute, the shield, and the medic. Yeah. And anything else is kind of gravy to start off with. Yeah. But play with that stuff to begin with.
The one guy you do not go get is the Gatling gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can pass on that.
It always feels like a good idea, but he's not good, sadly. Yeah.
The heavy weapons in this game are just not great. The rocket launchers, the Gatling guns.
Which, I mean, I understand why they're not great, because they could be too good.
Right, sure.
So, if they were what they are in real life type thing. But, yeah, I mean, you can still use it.
I'm fine with what they like. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, what do we want to talk about next?
Do we want to tap into the Speed Force?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's do it. Go.
All right, so tap into Speed Force. This is our lightning round. We're going to pull questions from the Aether and use them to power ourselves up to go faster. All right. So I got some questions.
So what are the rules to this?
The you rules answer are fast. You try to answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. You answer quickly, and it's either a one word, like yes or no, or it is a single sentence, and then you're done.
Oh,
you just
man.
Try to go fast.
I dig it. Got to go fast.
All right.
Danky
we'll
King.
Go. We'll just go
we don't
in
talk
a circle.
All at once. So.
Right. We'll go in a
Everyone
circle.
Everyone go at once.
So I'll ask the question, and then Eggy answer, Nigel answer,
I have to
Colin
go first.
You answer, and then I'll say something. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then I'll ask the next question.
Johnny on the spot.
Johnny on the spot. If you guys like this segment and you want to see us do it more, send us some questions for future Tapping Into the Speed Force rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Get it.
Question number one. Best model in the game.
Nightmare Batman.
Jesus, I don't know. Firefly.
Ra's al Ghul.
Constantine. Favorite model in the game.
High Security Henchman.
Firefly.
the new Oliver Queen.
Siren's Pack Harley Quinn.
Nice.
Number three, best faction / crew in the game.
Quick.
Organized Crime.
Freeze.
Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold. I changed mine to Brave and the Bold.
I actually assumed that all four of us were going to say Brave and the Bold on that one.
I was thinking for fun, though, too. Like, just for fun for me.
No, well, that's favorite crew in the game.
Okay.
Question number four.
Favorite crew.
Mm-hmm.
Organized Crime.
Penguin.
Brave and the Bold.
Sirens. Question number five. Is magic overpowered?
Yep.
Don't know.
No.
No.
It is.
Question number six. Are speedsters overpowered?
Nope, they're fine.
Nope.
Question number seven. Is the new Commissioner Gordon overpowered?
I think he's fine with the nerf.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a little overpowered.
Yes.
Learn to play around him.
Hashtag he's the same points as Penguin.
Hashtag learn to play around it.
Get out of here.
Question number eight. Is the Merciless overpowered?
No.
No, I don't know.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Number nine. What is the best crew for a new player?
Brave and the Bold.
Joker.
Ooh.
Brave and the Bold. Oh, that's hard.
I was going to say Freeze, but yeah, you're right. It's Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not having to worry about your allocation.
Joker's the correct answer to that.
There's no correct answers in the,
nope,
in
that
the,
is a correct
in the
answer.
Speed Force.
What,
no,
you're
there
right.
Is
you're right. There are no correct answers. What is your least favorite crew to play against?
Poison Ivy.
Yes.
You know this answer, Nigel. You
it's,
know it.
Mr. Freeze.
It could be Ivy or Freeze, yeah. I mean,
it's Freeze.
It's Freeze.
Yeah.
It's Freeze.
I gotta start playing Freeze again.
Question number 11. What model that doesn't currently exist would you want added to the game?
Man-Bat.
What did you just say?
Man-Bat.
Man-Bat, okay.
There's so many,
and I can't literally can't
just,
think
you just
of
pick
any.
One. It's a lightning force. It's speed. You're not tapping into the speed force.
Gotta go.
Tapping into the speed force. Tim Burton Penguin.
Okay.
That's all I can think of.
Batman Beyond.
Damn it.
Then
Ace.
I take it back. I want Ace, the
Ace
dog,
Ace
the Great
Gary?
Dane from Batman Beyond.
Also, old man. Bruce Wayne movie.
A couple of months ago, I would have said Bud and Lou, the hyenas, but now they're in the game.
We had dogs.
Yep.
Do you like digs?
What model would you remove from the game?
Poison Ivy.
Wah, wah.
Freeze.
New Gordon.
Constantine. Best henchman in the game.
High Security Henchman.
Yeah, probably High Security Henchman.
Just off the top of my head without thinking. Speed Force.
Is it Lyra? The new gun.
Lyra?
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Dallas.
Is get Dallas. Out of here. No.
It's actually Strix is the actual answer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want new team rules? Yay or nay?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want new vehicle rules? Yes
no.
or no?
Yeah.
No.
No. And that's it. The speed force counters are depleted.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about any other ones that you want to
talk about. Some of them would be super fun, actually.
Yeah. Is there like one in particular that
you want
to...
And just relax if you didn't like some of the answers, of course. Like, we'd go fast, so relax.
Mm-hmm.
So we...
We had blown up for...
So you want to talk about magic a little bit? Because... What? So my answer was no to magic being OP. What was everybody else's?
Mine was yes.
I was a yes.
I think I said no. I'm actually super on the fence.
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence because technically, yes, I think that's OP. But if literally just whistles shuts it down, then yeah.
That new nerf to it helped a lot.
I actually think with the new FAQ, it's fine. The biggest issue are models that are capable of dealing 3 to 4 packets of damage in a turn.
Right, yep.
So I don't think that Magic should be allowed to deal 3 to 4 packets of damage in a turn, and I don't think you can put it on a model like Constantine, who's unkillable. I think those two things are problematic. And I love Constantine in the comics, and I love that I said that was my model to remove from the game. I actually love the Constantines in the game, but he's too much. He's just a little too much. He takes too much. And you can play a game against Constantine and win. There's no question about that.
Yeah, right.
But for
That's
him.
Weird. So, Josh, I just played Nightmare Batman and Constantine in the same game against Josh.
You power gamer.
Yeah. And it didn't actually seem that bad.
He, over the course of the game, Constantine took.
He took damage.
32 damage.
But we were playing the
something
heal spell
like
wrong.
That. It's actually, it actually might not be that. Yeah. I mean,
no.
it's not 32.
I removed 4 damage off of him, I think. And that, some of that was with healing at the end of the turn with stuns.
Yeah. No, it was more than 4 damage. Because you healed him and like spent all your specials.
I only healed him 3 times.
Like,
I think I removed 2 stun.
Well, I can't.
And I think
it's been over a week since we
How many attacks did he divert by not being able to attack him because they failed their willpower?
Wow. 1.
What?
He would have been attacked by high security henchmen of the game, but I failed my roll.
Okay.
Like that's such I don't know why that's a thing. Like that's one of the things that drives me nuts. It's like
Well, a lot of times it's okay if you've got a balanced crew, but he is essentially immune to melee-based henchmen.
Which is silly.
Yeah.
It's
fairly silly.
Why? Yeah.
I understand him being tough, and he is tough.
I don't understand him being like the toughest dude ever. It's like 8 endurance.
He is maybe in the comics, he like basically just gets beat to crap by demons all the time and like keeps coming back for more. So, I mean, Constantine is a human punching bag. 8 endurance is fine for me. Giving him some survivability rules is fine for me. Making him immune to... It's really... I actually think charm might be... If you took away charm but just left him everything else the same, I think he might be fine.
I think he's actually fine. I think the... Just being able to protect yourself from magic now makes him fine.
I think...
Yeah, I don't think that... I'm never worried about Constantine killing off multiple models. But as for example... is basically, in that game, you sent Constantine over to my objectives where I had high security henchmen and Tyrone with adaptability. Mm-hmm. And they were over there scoring my points. And my choice was either I take my 150 rep Swamp Thing, who's basically doing his best to keep you from scoring, and otherwise you just score whatever you want. I take him over there to get him into a fight with Constantine that he may or may not win. I think he's slightly advantaged in that fight, but
I'd already taken 4 damage.
It's tough for him, though, too, for Swampy, because it's like, yes, he can just whiff.
He can whiff, but he only has to hit a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's advantaged in that fight, but it was basically, I have to take him and relocate him over there, or I just have to concede that my guys die because they literally have no ability to save themselves or protect themselves from Constantine. Like it's not even like a.
I mean, that's,
if dice go well for you,
that's not even true though.
I think
you were able to get pings and like I was able to kill the one henchman, but that was after 3 turns of him shooting magic at him.
Really?
He had one turn of
you shot magic at him once and then you killed him on the next turn.
Well, there was one turn of me just walking where I couldn't do anything.
Right.
And then there was the next turn, you got pings, and then you...
And I was on 2 endurance, yeah.
Yeah, I hit you once and then set you on fire, and then the fire did one more, and then the next turn after that. So on the third turn, he actually died.
I honestly don't mind him if it wasn't for charm. Like, it just... For, like, Mad Hatter, it's perfect because he's, like, a weak dude, and, like, it makes sense, like, game-wise and kind of just, like, lore-wise, too. But it's like, oh, I'm not going to go... This guy smiled at me, so I better not go stab him with my knife.
Yeah,
it's
I'm not sure charmed as a rule is actually just I think it's just not a good rule. Like,
yeah, I agree.
For the game in general, it just makes models too difficult to deal with.
I think charmed is a bad rule for the same reason. There's a lot of like I don't know, like having
like it's weird because it's like a corner case thing that can honestly just own your crew most, like randomly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Most of the rolls are like 1d6 rolls, and it's usually against an attribute or you're just I don't know. There's something weird about rolling 2d6, and it also happens to me in endurance. It doesn't feel great when you're endurance 4, and you've got to like make endurance rolls against like things that like really screw you hard, and you're just like, you know, and then just that stat line, the willpower 4, endurance 4, is so tragic in like a lot of stuff, and charmed is just like. You know, egregious.
Yeah, he's just immune to those models pretty much, which is like, doesn't make sense.
You gotta shoot him.
Yeah, that's how you kill Constantine. That's how you kill a charm model is shooting him.
Yep.
Yeah, sure, but still, I mean.
Or you send in somebody like Swamp Thing who has 9 endurance, but how 9 willpower, but how awful is it if you roll a 10, 11, or 12, right. and you're just like, yep, all right, I allocated 4 counters in my 150 rep model and I got time warped. Right. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's not. We're not saying you can't deal with them. It's just ridiculous that, like, it has to be like, oh, you have to have this or this happen. We're literally saying corner case like ways that have to be. You have to have those things to deal with. It's like,
so like a savvy Constantine player can essentially put him in scenarios that Constantine is very unlikely to ever lose.
Exactly.
Which can generate advantage on VPs via. Contesting VPs or scoring some, depending on what the
right. And if they're savvy too, it's like, oh, well, shoot him is just an easy thing to say because like you can just still get pings.
It's actually still hard to shoot him because he has a magic spell that makes him he can make him defense 5. He can crouch to go to defense 6 and get pings, and then he can heal himself.
And
he can luck his pings.
Yeah.
So he's actually like, if he wants to just hunker down and not die to firearms, it's really hard.
That was my point.
So, I mean, the nice thing is that Constantine's main strength is in not dying. If he's spending all of his magic resources not dying, then there are other models in the game that have a similar effect.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't put enough effort into Constantine to make him spend all those, then he's essentially impossible to kill. And also he's like putting 2 blood over here, raising dead like a guy at some point in the game, healing that guy and getting him off the ground. And he's just a very powerful model.
Or just like,
and honestly, output. The way he uses magic, I appreciate that. That's what I wanted magic to be, is like a little damage here, a little like help or aid over here. Like that's perfect. That's exactly what I want magic to be.
Not nuke a model and there's 10, like 6
like
damage.
Not like I have a gun and then I also have 2 like attack spells.
Right.
So,
yeah. I have a gun and I'm just going to camp defense and you can't do anything about it. Yeah.
Right. But I think with the changes to turning the attacks into essentially attacks from firearms and with anything that stops you from spending counters, stopping you from using magic, like I think those changes have brought magic as a whole into a balanced area.
Made it reasonable. Yeah.
The great thing about this, like, so we talked about all these guys that are just OP, like potentially.
Right.
So like Gordon and magic and things and merciless. So the good thing about Knight models is they've actually addressed these in FAQs.
They have.
So, and I appreciate that they're addressing it little by little and not taking a big chunk out of any of this stuff. So they've addressed. So, like, at first, Gordon could Hidden Sniper on turn 1. He could do it. He could Hidden Sniper
teleport
twice
Hidden
a turn
Sniper, yeah.
And use his teleport. But now they changed Hidden Sniper first to being only once per turn. And then it's like, oh, it's still probably too good. And then they changed it again to being you can't do it on turn 1. I was like, okay, well, now it's in the realm of this model is still extraordinarily good.
But he's not just putting a henchman down on turn 1. Yeah, before you even get to activate it.
Yeah, you get an opportunity. And, like, I'd still like him to be down a little, like, to be nerfed a little bit more.
Yeah, but I think he's fine now.
I think pings should be allowed.
I think, yeah. On some of that stuff. Think pings should be probably allowed from hidden snipers.
Specifically shields.
Well, it's a sniper. He's going to hit you.
Shield. Snipers miss, bro.
they got a beat on you.
I'm okay with the helicopter not giving pings because that's like directly above you. Whatever.
Sure.
But the sniper is off in a building somewhere.
You don't know where he's at.
Waiting for that open shot.
If you have your shield up, you get to shoot you from the side.
Well, no, they're coming from a board edge, so you know.
Oh, what about scopes?
Yeah,
scopes. Same thing. That's my point.
Scopes don't take away pings. Scopes just give you night vision.
Is this the only thing that gives away pings?
No,
there's other rules. There's other gunman rules.
No, I think scope gets removed pings. I'm pretty confident.
Arkham Sniper has, I think, scope.
I mean, I was literally just looking at Arkham Knight, and the scope rule doesn't say. Maybe I missed it.
I think scope. You don't get pings. Because you're aiming for their face.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No pings. Yep.
Yes. Good job.
Yeah, thanks. Because you play scope models like a douche. Yeah.
I don't. that's
no, the problem is I played Arkham Sniper against him while he was playing Two-Face, and I one-shot his Two-Face.
Oh, okay.
And he had two shields in base-to-base with Two-Face. Basically. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I literally just broke everyone up after that point.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's one-shot my... That's what's so nice about that new... bodyguard prisoner is like the old bodyguard just gets killed one turn and then I shot at them the next turn. I couldn't do anything about it, but I would have shot back at him if I lived. So I still had, like, that game was still fine even with Two-Face going down, but yeah. I hate Arkham Knight. He's just dumb, like Arkham Sniper. It's like
yeah, all right, so that was, I think that was a good enough kind of retouch on some of the
magic
stuff.
There yeah, I was kind of a little sad too, just like I had bought Constantine, I bought Gordon, I was like, I'm not playing them. Because it is such, like, first it was such a bad... Oh, now I will. Yeah. But I think right when they first came out, I was like...
Yeah, they were...
You just felt like a douche if you're going to play them. Yeah. It's like,
There was a point...
It's like Nightmare Batman now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Nightmare Batman's that bad.
Holy cow. He's not good. Like,
I don't think he... So, like, okay. Let me just explain this. So, I've been kind of struggling. Because I played him, and then he puts out a lot of damage. Like,
too much.
The most damage in the game, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too much.
Just settle down. But it takes him 7 counters to do the most damage, basically.
Mm.
And he has 8. So, because he wants to allocate it all into offense, and he wants to allocate 2 into special, so that way he can take his free shot and also get as many melee attacks in as possible. But the problem is that if he takes a little bit of damage, his damage output falls really fast. Whereas if you have Bat Dad, for instance, his damage output doesn't fall that fast because it stays the same until he takes more than...
I mean, it only falls by 2 stun per counter that you lose.
Yep. And his movement goes down as... like, so if he wants to get his max movement and shoot and... punch as much as he wants, he has to put 3 into special, 1 into move, and 4 into attack. Mm-hmm.
And then he's still rolling 3 dice, dealing double bloods for each of them that hit, and then rolling 4 dice, dealing double stun for each of them that hit.
I was only able to do that twice during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was walking 4 inches and hoping for the best, like, because I would need all my damage.
He's a back claw, right?
He has a back claw.
Yeah, but he can only use that every other turn.
Did you take the strategy for Batman?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the crew that he was playing was not, like, optimized for him to do killing spree every other turn.
I don't think it wasn't.
A handful of plants and Swamp Thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, playing against, you mean. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Okay. It was like, you really had a target that you wanted to, like, pump a ton of damage into in that game.
Yeah. But the thing everyone complains about is the fact that he can knock out one henchman and kill another.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone's kind of complaining about, which is very strong. I'm not.
That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is against a single target, he can put, like, he has the potential
for
needing 3s
damage.
And 2s to put, what is it, 14?
14 damage.
14 damage onto a single target. And that's super gross.
Mm-hmm. Right? 14.
Yeah, right. And then some of it, like, is guns.
Sorry,
and
you
can't
put 16 damage.
And another the thing that's ridiculous is literally being able to shoot first in combat and then putting all the damage and have them losing counters, then you can swing after it,
mm-hmm.
which is also absurd. Like, and that's very, very good. So they lose those counters.
Yeah, it's very
and they
good.
Can't defend against it, too.
Yeah. I've played one game against him. I'm not going to declare him OP yet, but he's very strong. He has a lot of damage output.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people... a lot of arguments I've been getting in online are they're comparing him to Bat Dad specifically.
Mm.
Bat Dad's pretty ridiculous too.
Oh no, he's super ridiculous. But like the thing
Bat
about Bat
Dad is Flashpoint Batman, Thomas Wayne Batman. For those that are unsure of who Bat Dad is,
yeah. The problem with him is that he brings pregame support with Grand Strategist, Mastermind.
I'm not saying like Bat Dad's really good too, I think, but I just don't know why we're comparing Bat Dad and him. Like,
because that's like, I'm saying that's what people are comparing
because
him
it's
online.
The other shooting.
They're saying,
oh, okay,
why would
okay.
we ever take Bat Dad when we can take
Nightmare Batman?
Oh, well,
I think
that's fine.
I think that there's reasons.
I think there's differences. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're very similar.
Like, Nightmare is just about damage output. Mm-hmm. It's just this huge wrecking ball damage output.
Batman. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree. There's a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
like Bad Dad is also more survivable. He's like endurance 10, right?
10, yeah.
But he doesn't have the Mark One armor is a big deal actually, and
well,
just having
have Mark One.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Oh, sorry. He has Mark Two. Yeah. I actually like Mark Two more because it gives him more movement.
Plus 2 inches of movement.
But
is
plus
nice.
One.
But, oh, plus one. Okay.
But it's the 5+ armor save. Yeah. Yeah. Which
no,
is
I
like
know.
That
but
can make that can just make him ridiculously tanky.
Just roll sixes, bro.
Okay, yeah. Literally, the 5+ though is like can be terrifying because you're like a lot of times you're trying to like how many successes do I need to knock him out, you know? Mm. And then when that like adds a random effect to it, so you can kind of destroy your whole entire plan because that.
Swamp Thing kept on coming at me when I had
no
defense. No,
he rolled
dice,
a lot of fives and sixes. Fives.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like even attack. If you throw all of your stuff in attack, he can still just survive just by being defense four and have the bad
like
armor.
Batman.
Yeah, just the armor. It's insane.
No,
yeah,
I agree.
Yep.
Bad armor is one of the best rules in the game. Mm. Specifically that bad armor. But yeah.
I actually still I do really like the
I like the movement increase because usually the ones that have it are take good advantage of the movement increase.
Like his threat the Bat Dad, his threat range is 23 inches with his guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really bananas. Mm.
Are we including the strategy in that?
No.
No?
The strategy is not really a threat increaser. It's like it's
yes,
really
it is.
Weird. No, because you don't know actually who's going first when you do it.
But it's still something you can reliably you're gonna get.
Yeah, I know, but it like it's weird.
But if then they pull the counter to go first,
a lot of times he's.
But
just
I mean, extra 6 inches
away.
To that, it's kind of just like.
Yeah, like a lot of times it's you're moving closer to them, which makes it easier for them to get to you.
Yeah, he's gonna live.
Maybe
he's
not
a Durus 10.
What? Sorry,
unless
thinking about Nightmare Batman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because him, I'm not worried about his movement because he is base movement 5, and then he still has 2 move. But I don't know. I'm not as worried with him, I guess.
My only actual real complaint about Nightmare Batman is...
Is Nightmare Batman, the character?
Is the character.
Yeah, I 100% agree with
like,
you.
I'm 100% cool with Flashpoint Batman with Bad Dad being in because there's like a cool storyline.
Yeah. There's
told,
a whole entire like comic
like, yeah,
line
devoted
it.
To it. So, like, cool, he makes an appearance in the game. But this is, like, a literal nightmare vision from a crappy movie. And, like, we get, like, a whole character in the game based on it.
And he's obnoxiously good on top of it.
Yeah,
how
troll he is.
Yeah. That's what bugs me the most, yeah.
That is literally the most annoying part about it.
So, another issue that has kind of been brought up with the release of Nightmare Batman is the fact that they're power scaling with the promo Batmans they've made lately.
Yeah.
So, like, somebody was listing the top 3 Batman online, and it was Azbats, who's...
I think he is an overrated model.
Sure.
But
yeah, they're, like,
yeah,
favorite Batman.
Bat Dad, Nightmare, and then Bat Dad.
I think it's Rebirth. Well... Nightmare, Bad Dad, and Rebirth.
No, but they're saying the exclusive ones are ridiculous.
I understand what the argument
is. It's a little frustrating that like the
100%.
Best models are promos, and I hope that they.
But they're available
them.
For large consumption and release. Like it wasn't like Nightmare was just
they're not
a Gen
hard
Con.
To get.
Yeah.
It depends.
That one's hard to get for people. The Gen Con
a lot
one
of
stuff
people
is.
Have been
yeah.
Complaining about getting it because last year. Like, the Gen Con release was Batmite, but, like, Miniature Market had it for sale online, and there's a few other places that had it for sale online. But this year, that's not the case. Oh. So, and last year, that was a model that people really didn't care about that much, because it was a legend, so people, whatever. But this year, it's a model everybody who plays Brave and the Bold is going to want. So.
Yeah, it's not a strategy unique to Knight models, but it's always annoying when it's a... Because you can order them on their web store, of course, I assume.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, you could. You can't anymore.
Gotcha. So it's that limited.
Yeah.
Get some cash, but have to pay shipping from Spain.
So the one thing I would say is that the original Batfleck or Ben Affleck Batman, it at first was a promo, and then it got re-released.
Yeah,
it got resined.
Yep, it
got took
resined,
a long time.
And
it
took a while.
It did take a bit.
But that's if they do that, then I'm okay with it. If
right,
some
if they
people
eventually
just get to play
release
with
it
faster than others, then, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
But
yeah.
I want those models re-released so that way people can buy them. Everyone
or,
has the option.
Or just do, like, what's that odd Batman? Like the Rizal Batman, whatever the thing's called.
The purple
and
R.
Yeah, that
it's
one.
It's Zombie Batman.
Yeah, so there's a Zombie Batman that was like an exclusive. It's that. Just do that. Like, just don't make it a ridiculously powerful model, and that's not that big of a deal. But when you make exclusives ridiculously powerful,
yeah, it's when like, you're like, here's one of the better leaders in your crew.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why, like, when that one was just like, everyone's like, oh, cool. Like, if you liked it, you can get it. And it wasn't like you had to have it to be competitive or something like that, you know? That's the thing.
I mean, the good thing about Brave and the Bold is there's
so many options.
That you don't actually have to have any of these.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to buy Gordon and Constantine anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. Was there something else we wanted to talk about?
We got Scenario.
Scenario,
oh, did you mean off this list? Or?
No, I don't know. I think we're pretty much done with the list for now, I think.
I think so. So, yeah, if you guys like the Speed Force round, like I said, we've got a Facebook page, the GCPD Facebook page. Send us, just submit some questions to us that you'd like us to have in the tapping into the Speed Force round.
Also Twitter.
And,
at GCPD underscore podcast. I always want to say at GCPD.com, but that's not
it. Underscore podcast. to send us your tapping into the Speed Force questions, and we will put them together. And once we have another 10 to 20, we'll delve back into the Speed Force.
Yeah. So next we're going to talk about Scenario. We're on Scenario number 3, which is what again? Do you want to read it all off, Nigel?
It had gone on for weeks, rival factions picking each other off one at a time. Someone's going to pay the price. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I like it.
Yep.
So also, it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Oh, eye for eye, tooth
yeah,
for
you,
tooth.
Yeah, you corrected it.
Yep.
So this one is normally what I play with new players. If I'm giving a demo, I normally pull out Skirmish and we play it. It's fairly straightforward. Your deployment is just 8 inches on each side.
Opposite sides, yeah.
Opposite side, yep. Then the bonus VPs are... Wanted, dead or alive, 3 VPs to any player if their opponent's bosses is KO'd or casualtied when the game ends. The second one is teach them a lesson, 2 VPs to any player if when the game ends, the number of casualties from the opponent's crew is equal or more than 50% total reputation.
So that one almost never happens.
True.
The second one's pretty hard.
Yeah.
We got close. We played this one as a...
Yeah, we played this week with that Nightmare, Batman, and Constantine, and the Swamp Thing and Friends. And, yeah, you were close. If you'd taken out High Security Henchmen, you would have gotten there.
Before the game, we were just like, Josh was like, pointed out that I needed to kill either Swamp Thing and one plant, or
everything
else except for
Swamp
Thing
and one
plant.
Yes.
And at the end of the game, he had Swamp Thing, one plant, and High Security Henchmen.
Wow.
Yep. So... He killed 3 plants in Harley. Nah.
It was
Tyrone.
Despite all of this, it was a very close game.
It was. Yeah. We drew by Batmatch rules. I think Colin had 1 point more than I did.
Yep.
In the end.
But yeah, so this scenario is it's super straightforward. It's exactly what you think. You kind of meet in the middle and you fight. And
kind of.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
So this is a lot like any scenario where the strip of your objectives kind of goes across the board. You can always find a way to separate out. Like you can split your group into two, or you could try to meet in the middle. This was actually somewhere I kind of screwed up against Josh, as I wanted the meet in the middle really badly. He didn't want that. So I grouped all my guys up and tried to go together as one force.
Swamp Thing went to the middle of the table.
He went to the middle and he said, bring it on, Nightmare. And I was just like, I'll show you a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And then I promptly tried to avoid Swamp Thing like the plague. But yeah, so it's kind of a weird, I think Josh had, let's see, you took a hidden, you had undercover.
I had hidden and I had undercover. Undercover on Tyrone, hidden in high security. And then I had 4 plants. So it was, the crew was 4 plants, high security, Tyrone with undercover, and then Harley... And Swamp Thing. So all I had to deploy at the start of the game was Swamp Thing and Harley Quinn. Like, that's it. That's my entire deploy for the, before objectives go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was also one I think I took for my strategies was, like, patrol. I took two patrols in the Batman strategy so I can get a little extra movement out of my Nightmare Batman.
I actually want to talk about strategies in this game a little bit since we're talking about the skirmish. Because I did something that I kind of like, and I think I will repeat against Brave and the Bold, and that's I took 1 patrol, which is fine, whatever, just to get Harley or Swamp Thing up the table a little bit more, And then the other was I took fake objective and put it on the bat signal because now it scores a minimum of one VP. So it still scores a VP for me when it's turned off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it only scores two when it's turned on.
It's a big deal.
And in this game, that was 4 points that Colin didn't get over the course of the game.
That's big.
Which is a pretty big deal. So
this is actually one where I actually wouldn't have taken the bat signal at all if not for having been playing against plants that can't contest. Like, normally plants can test objectives. So I just actively hate taking objectives in this scenario, and I just want to fight and kill all of your plants. But when the plants can't turn off the bat signal, and so you only had a very select few models that could, so that's why I ended up taking it anyway. So it was actually like kind of both counterplays on both of our parts, which was a really good, fun game. But yeah, it was like, it's a fun scenario. It's great for new players. It's something
this is a scenario
never stray away from. It's not like, it's not a standout scenario in my mind. Because again, it's actually hard for us to talk about, I think. It's just very easy.
Yeah, it's basic.
This is the scenario you should play if you're new to the game. Because all the objectives follow normal objective placement rules. So you just, as you read what things do out of the rule book, you just do it in the scenario. There's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
And then you can either set up, like the nice thing is, if your crew is more dodgy and doesn't want to come to blows, you can set up your objective such that you're going to go back and hide and you're going to be tricksy. And if you're a straightforward kill 'em up crew, you can set up your objective. You can take objectives that come out of the deployment zone or whatever and be able to fight more or just sit back on your opponent's objectives and wait for them to come to you. So this is, to my mind, the basic core Batman game.
It's the most balanced scenario in my mind. So it's like, I don't know that there's a crew that has a strict advantage, whether you're fast, slow, a beat stick crew, a swarm crew. I don't think there's any real advantage. It's kind of
think a well-rounded crew does the best in this scenario because they can play whatever game kind of evolves from
objective from placements and activations and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's
my cheese hidden list. Don't like this one.
Hidden models.
Yeah.
The cheese, like if you're playing like League and you're trying to get ahead, or like maybe monkeys don't like it as much either, just because they want to score really fast. And when it's on the other side of the board, it, like they can defend it because they're already there. Mm. So I don't think fast crews like it.
Like it. The cool thing about this scenario is that if you want to learn all the objectives, like you can experiment with all of the different types, you know? So you can sort of safes and loot. You could change, if you're playing a fast crew, you can just take safes and loot and plow into it really hard.
But I'm just saying, like, they have the ability to defend it. That's all. It's like
yes, the high point objectives, you're not going to score and get an early jump with your three hidden models on like turn one.
Or
get up 6 to 12 points.
With those crews, like I've played lists that are very... I've played League of Assassins, and you can, with League of Assassins, still group up, and you actually become one of the more deadly bricks moving across the table.
Hidden's not bad.
I'm not arguing those crews can't do it. I'm just saying it's like,
one of your primary strategies is not available in
exactly.
This
scenario. That was my point.
But that's good for a scenario though. It makes you change up what you do.
Yeah, 100%.
That's good.
And no, I agree with Nigel. This is like every objective you want is live in this game, depending on the game you want to play. Yeah. Like I can't stress enough, like a lot of these scenarios play entirely different if I'm going after ammo, Titan, and medical supplies versus if I've got a loot and like a couple ace chemicals or whatever in the mix. Mm-hmm. Like the games will play differently based on those objectives and where they're placed.
Yeah. I kind of remember I used to play safes a lot, and I've gotten away from it. And a lot of that's just because of the scenarios we play
it's also hard to justify safes when ace chemicals exist, since your opponent can score, you're safe, but ace chemicals they cannot. The only reason I can think to do it is if you want to take both, or if you've got a model like a greedy model like Captain Boomerang, who's like, I only score safes and loots.
So I mean, I think the reason I took safes back in the day is still probably the same, which is to kind of try to separate my opponent's crew. And so if I feel outnumbered, I can take safes and like, oh, they'll score a few points, but hopefully I casualty or knock out enough stuff that I catch up. And so that used to be a pretty common Batman strategy for me. If I was going into 10 to 12 models, I would try to take, and this was a big scenario for that, is because I could take safes and put them back in both corners of their table edge, basically. And then they would take two models out of the crew. So they go from an 11-point crew or 11-model crew down to a 9. And those might just be their cheapest dudes or their do-nothings. But it's still... it still matters quite a bit.
I always took safes almost the opposite way as like a bug zapper. So like I would place them 8 inches as close to me as possible to hopefully that they'll want to score them. And then I know where they're at. I can go get them, like, because I just want a murder ball run over them. And then, you know, there's a few turns where we're both on the safe and, you know, so they'll score first. Then we neutral score and then I kill them and I start to get to score. And then it's like, yay.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of ways to use safes, actually.
And I also use them as terrain. So it's like a free ping. So it's like as you're coming across the table, you can kind of place them in front of your
if there's like a huge gap that you know you're gonna have to cross, you're just like, well, I need a ping and my opponent has guns, so
I mean, that's I was thinking about in this scenario, like if you were this crew that just wanted to brawl, all you wanted to do is brawl, you're like a bang crew or whatnot, you can literally set up, you could take ace chemicals, riddles, and safes. Like, this is the extreme, but you could do this. They're all like out, they're all placed out in the middle. None of them are worth very many points. You can essentially ignore your ace chemicals and riddles unless you've got somebody to go stand on them, because your opponent's basically not scoring anything or scoring one point off the riddles or whatever. And you can try to fight over the safes if you want, if your opponent decides. But otherwise, you can just put all your heavy hitters around where they go to score. Back in your zone, right? And then you're just like, come to me, and it's time to brawl. That's what we're going to do, I'm better at it than you.
Yeah.
That's actually super interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you can always play, like, people forget about that, too, is, like, you can always just play defensively and make it a low-scoring game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your choice of objectives is important, and in this, in a scenario like this, it's even more so because it's such a blank slate scenario.
Exactly.
That it essentially, you can just reach for medical ammo, like, Titan, just be like, I want to score 8 points a turn if I can. You can do that, and that's fine, but that should... You should think about it before you do it, because that's not always going
to
be the
right. Are you going to get three models in your opponent's deployment zone that can just sit there?
Right.
Sometimes really
and,
hard for
and be able to defend what your opponent is trying to do.
And you're also giving them ammo and Titan.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So
Titan is so dangerous.
Giving your opponent the ability to pick up Titan. I mean, it's usually okay because you put it not base-to-base contact, so they have to move into it and take the Titan dose, and they give up their advance on turn one. But if both of your other objectives are back there in the zone, then it's basically just the two guys that they want to defend
their
deployment
doses.
Zone are just like, we're going to be on Titan when you get here.
It depends who you take. Like, with Bane, I take it still because you can move it.
Sure.
Strategy.
I mean, I take it with, so like my specific, when playing Brave and the Bold, I take Titan when I can put it somewhere in like asphalt jungle in the center zone. Mm-hmm. And then I can take a Batman and like, oh, well, Batman on Titan is literally better than anything else my opponents can do.
Yeah.
So that's like when I tend to do it most. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do it.
If I know we're going to meet at a place and fight, that's where I put the Titan.
Right, try not
to put the Titan where I have to go.
Exactly,
to.
Yeah.
And they're already going to be there waiting.
Your Titan is probably going to be around another one of your objectives. It's probably a three-pointer.
And it also depends on, like, there are crews like Bane. I actually love Titan when I play Birds of Prey because almost every model in Birds of Prey becomes kind of ridiculous on a Titan dose.
Yeah, their defense gets really high.
Defense gets really high. They actually, Katana just basically will, like,
kill somebody.
She'll nearly just straight one shot most models that come around her when she's on her Titan dose. Strix is a nightmare on Titan.
Right. Yep.
So I love, there's certain crews where you just have a plethora of models where they love being juiced.
Yeah, Malatesta loves being juiced.
He does love it. He loves the juice.
That guy always
was in the bottle before he breaks it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't understand how that guy always gets a Titan dose like every game that he's playing. It's like, yes, and then he just goes ham.
Well, it's because you use his movement counters to get him to the Titan, and then you use a movement.
I don't know how he does it. How does he do it? I think just be open minded about your objectives, because most people, and I think they kind of create a little problem with it, just because most people like will go to the objectives and say, well, I'm just going to take the ones where they can't score.
They can't score them, and I can score the most points off of them.
Exactly.
And that is a fine default to have.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we're saying, like, keep an open mind.
I mean, it's definitely been snake biting me. I got into a bad habit because I basically was like, oh, I'm always playing like these like brawler strategies, and then a lot of the scenario, I've just played a ton of scenarios where it's like maybe the most complex ones, Race for Glory, but a lot of them are just like asphalt jungle, secure the area. And so you get to play all your favorite stuff right where you want it.
Right.
And then you get to just, like, beat everybody up for being near your stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I just default. It's always Titan medical kit. And especially once the medical kit came out in the new edition, it was just like, oh, perfect. It's, like, the third one I needed.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's absolutely been punching me in the butthole because it's been, because you can't give your opponent three of those. You know, you're sitting there, like, you're literally putting your objectives in, like, the farthest reaches of the galaxy, and then your opponent, sure, they could run back to the corner and get it, but there's like, ah, actually, you already kind of screwed yourself because you're not.
Yeah, you got
to
get all the way over there.
Like,
you
GG.
Yeah.
And then they've placed their cool stuff, like, on top of buildings and other cool. I'm like, dang it. I'm like, my crew is really lame. I got to use, like, sewer caps maybe to get over there. Like, yeah. So, yeah, don't focus too much. It kind of circles back to the Scarecrow advice is
bring it back full circle.
Yeah, Jesse and Steven, you know, play with the objectives and experiment with every single one. Like, when you guys play like two or three games. And
there's actually objectives we haven't used yet.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, we don't know. I haven't seen Acme.
I have been intending to use Contraband for a while because to me it's the most interesting one. Your opponent can score it. But it's a roll, a D6 roll about like what you get out of Contraband, and it's a varying number of points, and then also maybe even something
or get
else.
Hurt,
or you can get hurt or whatever. And if you have Handyman or one other rule, I can't remember what the other. Pickpocket, Handyman or Pickpocket, then you get to reroll the dice.
That
on
goose
it.
Holy
that
crap,
goose
Firefly
stuff,
and
dude.
Penguin.
Yeah. So, but I'm like, I actually play a couple models that have these rules, and I kind of want to try out playing Contraband because it comes out 8 inches, so it's one of those that you get to like get more leeway over where you deploy it. Your opponent can score it, but they're not always going to because it's there's a couple different successes that don't work out for any points. And a lot of times if they do score, they're scoring like a point off of it, so it's not the end of the world. So Contraband's one that I want to mess around with.
Since I actually think this would be kind of fun to do is next week. So this week, we kind of, when we play our games, we kind of try out new objectives a little bit.
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure. And then we can, next week, revisit the topic and see what we found and what we like, what we don't like. And
I've got an ace up my sleeve.
Just Ace Chemicals? Get out of here.
You always play Ace Chemicals. Like, every game you play Ace Chemicals.
No, I'm just, like, just saying as a metaphor.
I see.
I'm going to use a different objective.
Oh, okay.
It's
Wayne Tech.
That's what I want.
He's going to guess all the objectives.
Yeah, I'm going to just guess all of them and get there eventually. Yeah. It's
the fire barrels.
The fire barrels. Yeah. Because
they light people up.
Yep. As well as, they're like
then
a
lamp. You shoot them up.
Light them up and shoot them up. That's what you do. So should we give this scenario a rating?
Yeah. I give it probably a 6, I think. 6 out of 10 bats.
I agree. I think 6 out of 10 plants is right where I... Yeah, right where I would put it in the garden.
4 out of 5 Titan doses.
Oh my!
4 out of 5. Wow!
Is that your best score?
Yeah, I think it's his best score so far.
I like it.
I'm going with 6 out of 10 penguin turds.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Wait,
turds.
Is more penguin turds better or is it worse?
gotta be better.
I think it's better.
Okay. Would you pick this as a scenario that should be played in a tournament setting?
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Yes.
I actually think a reason not to do it is because it's so straightforward and generic.
Yeah.
You can have one kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
You can.
There's some exotic ones, so it's like if you've got a brain burner exotic one.
I was just saying, like, if I ran into this, I'd be like, oh, that's fine. But I'd also be kind of bummed that I was playing such a straightforward scenario in a tournament, I think.
Yeah.
I
think. Anyway, I like it overall. It's not too jazzy. But for those of you just getting into the game, play this scenario when you play.
Yep. All right. So we're going to move on to one last thing. What are we looking forward to next week?
Is there something coming next
week? New releases?
Well, just
oh, what we're going to be playing?
For yourself, yeah.
Oh.
I have a Swampers and Ivy list as opposed to the Swamp and Harley list I played that I plan on giving a dry run, so to speak.
Nice.
And see if I like it. I like playing with Swamp Thing. He's fun. I'm looking forward to playing with him a little bit more.
I feel like Swamp Thing wouldn't be dry, though. I think he'd be pretty wet.
He's very moist.
Yeah, moist. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah, very moist.
Eggers has a disappointed look on his face.
I don't care.
He is swampy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Swamp butt.
He de facto has a swamp butt.
Eggers, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to playing some Bane again, I think. I'm going to try out some the older Banes and give them a run. I'll probably play some Organized Crime, too. I wanted to get two games in this week. Just getting games in this week would be nice. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to. Pretty boring.
Well, now that we're talking about Contraband, I'm 100% experimenting with just a contraband, and then playing Firefly, Penguin, and
Gustav.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing because those guys are just in the gang all the time anyway. So it's like, yeah, now I just get to be sweet with that cool stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Also, I've got the Penguin Beef Boys and then an Enchantress list. So I got to do all three of those things.
Oh, we got a lot of games to play this week.
Yep.
I do. I'm looking forward to seeing you play some Enchantress because I need to get her on the table too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I got a new thing I'm actually starting up where I take. So I've been rewatching Arrow season one, and I created a list of every henchman, or not every henchman, every leader and sidekick in the game. And I'm going to go through with Oliver Queen, and I'm going to cross every name off.
What if Oliver Queen just gets killed every game? He doesn't get any of his targets.
Then he just then he has to try again.
Okay, try again.
Yeah. Yep.
It's gonna gunning be, for you, Queen.
Oliver Queen is on the list.
Oh.
You're going to Oliver Queen, Oliver Queen?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So are you going to play solely with TV Green Arrow to do
this?
Well,
the two. There's, yeah. Oh, Oliver Queen is fine. But I'm going to be playing the two TV Oliver Queens, but yeah.
The two TV ones?
The new one is also Stephen Amell.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. But you won't be playing Frank Miller's One-Armed Bandit.
No.
One arm guy, come on.
Only play with two arms. You can't lead a crew with one arm.
We already established he has two.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Where's the other one?
Where do you think?
Just a baby, baby holding an
apparently apple. Normal. Every other person has three arms.
No.
Other male. Other male has three arms.
That's according to Nigel.
No, that's literally just him. He's just that endowed. He's just got two arms. He just doesn't need one on his shoulder.
Okay, so every other arrow has
three arms. Three arms. That's correct.
That's
no, no, it's only that one.
Yeah.
Just
it's
that
one.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
the Frank Miller universe.
Yeah.
It's just that one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So they just eventually grow a third arm.
Sure.
There's no they. It's just him. It's just in that particular timeline,
he
was
had
well
three
endowed,
arms,
exactly.
And then they cut
and
one
they
of
cut
them off.
One, Superman chopped one off.
God. Screw Barry Allen. I'm only assuming he screwed up the timeline so that way the others didn't get a third arm.
Probably.
Yeah. Geez. Freaking Barry. All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode, guys. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter at @GCPD_podcast and like us on Facebook. You can find us at the GCPD.
What do I always say? Smash that like button.
Smash it.
Smash
it like Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
Born on a Monday.
This has been Colin.
Josh.
Iggy.
And Nigel.
Later.
Bye.